Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Soon we'll have fresh seasonal veggies and the farmers markets will be in full spring swing. We can pretty much agree there's nothing like farm fresh and making delectable dishes with those ingredients. Heck, with hothouses and the storage mechanisms these days, we can get farm fresh all year round. So it kind of makes you feel bad if you grab that jarred tomato sauce from the pantry or reach for that Pop-Tart in the morning to jumpstart the kids' day. Well, no more, my friends. We can do it all from scratch, if we're so inclined. Alana Chernilla has created some of the yummiest recipes for some of our old standbys, and it's not as hard as you would think.
Hoping this good food fills ya. Work my hands to the bone in the kitchen alone.
You know, it all sort of came about as a surprise to me. I was a young mom working, trying to piece everything together and sort of figure out what I really wanted to do in the world. And in the midst of that, I was working on Saturdays at the Great Barrington Farmers Market. And I found that I just loved talking to people about food. And over that time, I realized that food was really the perfect gateway, really, for me to be able to work with all the things that inspired me, you know, whether it be parenthood, politics, just being more responsible in the world, or really helping people to live better, which was really what I wanted to work with, and just to enjoy life. It just seemed like food was the perfect medium for all of these things. And so I started writing a little bit about food. I started a blog in 2008 called Eating from the Ground Up. And I really started that as a place to store recipes and just practice my writing. And then I started getting curious about all the foods that I was buying every day for my family, just really basic foods like yogurt and granola bars and sort of the things that we just absolutely needed to get through the moments with young girls. And I thought, you know, I think I can probably figure out how to do these better. No high fructose corn syrup. I can make them cheaper. I can make them healthier. I can make them taste better. And as I started working through those projects and having successes and failures, I found that when I wrote about those projects, readers on my blog responded with so much enthusiasm. And they started challenging me to make more foods. You know, oh, have you ever tried to make this or that? And I started to feel like making these basic foods was such a good way to bring empowerment into people's kitchens. There's this aspect of taking the food system into your own hands and recognizing that we really can make these foods, that it just was so exciting for me. And that's really how this book was born and how I got started in the project.
It's funny with your story that goes along with making the fresh mozzarella, how friends would say, oh, no, I just want to watch. And you're like, no, stir it. And then just from there, it blossoms and everybody wants to make their own mozzarella.
It's true. And I find that people are really tend to be afraid of their own kitchens. And I felt that too, you know, oh, I'm going to fail and what will happen? And there's this great process of sort of walking into the kitchen and saying, okay, I can do this. I'm going to figure this out. And I really love working through that with people too, whether through writing or even in my own kitchen. So I love that.
You know, as I was looking at the recipes when the book first came across my desk, I was thinking, oh, this is a great idea. And I'm looking at all the recipes. This is great. This is great. And then I was thinking, I am not going to do this every day or every week.
And I don't either. I promise. I mean, I think that's another good, that's something to always keep in mind, which is that I think anything that we decide to make from scratch, you know, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in our lives. And I think if you want to start with one food and even just make it once, it will make you think differently about that food, even when you start buying it again. And I am in no way thinking that this book will come into people's kitchens and they will start making everything in the week, although that's wonderful if they want to do that, but I certainly don't. I think there's really just a power in the knowledge that you can, and that when you feel inspired and excited about making your own pickles or your own pasta, that I'm hoping people will have a resource to go to and say, oh, well, let's do this today. Let's let's make lasagna and make our own noodles and our own cheese and maybe even our own sauce. So it's really, you know, I think taking guilt out of it and saying, oh, well, I could never do this, I could never do that. It's guilt has no place in this. It's really, it's, I'm just hoping to appeal to what inspires and excites people.
It's whenever you feel like it.
Absolutely.
I like how with every single recipe, you have a personal story that goes along with it, whether it's with family or friends or how you came to creating that specific recipe.
Mm-hmm. That felt like a really important piece of sharing the story of this, just because I feel like it's important to have someone with you in the kitchen as you're working through these projects, and that was my way of trying to be there with people.
And each recipe, aside from being it called what it is, there's also a little side note name, so the toaster pastries or the taste of apology.
Oh, yes, that's a hard one. It's true, and because, you know, food is always, there's always emotions and subtext and you know, everything in people's experiences in food. So it's, those are my experiences of each food and in those little subtitles.
So I don't think I would have ever thought of making my own toaster pastries, and we can fill them with sweet fillings or savory fillings. It's really quite nice.
It's true. And really, they are so much simpler than people seem to imagine, usually ask me about them. They are really just delicious pie crust with anything that you want inside. So I found that I've made Pop-Tarts for fancy cocktail parties that have, you know, wonderful cheese inside. I've made them, obviously, for my kids with jam inside. And these Pop-Tarts make everybody happy all the time. I don't know if there's another food in my life which makes so many people happy. And it's been amazing. You know, there are Pop-Tarts on the cover of the book.
Yes.
And so I've been getting emails from people who see the book on Amazon or, you know, or that kind of thing and say, oh, I just want that book so that I can make those Pop-Tarts. I think they really appeal to something deep in people.
Oh, they really do. It just looks like comfort.
Yes. Absolutely. And it is. It tastes like comfort, too. So that's even better.
Although you started your blog in 2008, you started looking for ways to save money when you were younger. So do you find it's easier to make these homemade foods now when there's more of an accessibility and more people are doing it?
It was really my mother and my grandparents who were, you know, they were definitely in the natural foods movement of the 70s. And that's what I was born into in the end of that decade. And, you know, I think it's certainly, we have so many wonderful ingredients available to us now. It's certainly easier to produce these foods now than it was then. But at the same time, I think as we've moved further on, these skills are disappearing quickly. And there are less people who have grandmothers who taught them how to can or really how to bake or, you know, so I think that although we have more ingredients, there are less resources for these skills, and it's important that we seek them out so that we can make sure that we're keeping the skills alive. Because really, you know, at one point, all food was made from scratch, and so many of those methods are just so important to preserve. And useful for us now.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Now, I am always looking for a perfect cornbread recipe.
That's new. Oh, I have one for you.
You do.
Yes.
You have buttermilk in the recipe, and we can also make our own buttermilk.
It's true. And I hope people take that to heart, that in so many of these recipes, we have there's your final product can use so many ingredients that you can also make. You can make the butter, you can make the buttermilk. But at the same time, I want to make sure people know that it isn't any less homemade if you use some store-bought ingredients. I want people to do what they can and do their best and do what makes them happy. So if you're buying all the ingredients and making your own cornbread, then that is absolutely wonderful homemade cornbread. But yes, the buttermilk is in so many things in the book, and I buy buttermilk at the store because I use my milk for yogurt.
No, you have a yogurt maker, which I like.
I
how you like your gadgets, as you say in the book. And
I love them.
Whereas I'm always looking to try to consolidate and think, oh, I don't use this, so I need to just get rid of it.
Well, that's good too. You're very responsible then. That is just one. That's one thing about me as a cook is that I get a thrill from a good gadget, and I have absolute respect for people who get all the gadgets out of their kitchen and do everything by hand. But in my kitchen, there's a lot of gadgets on the counter, and I do love my yogurt maker. Although you can make great yogurt in a jar without a yogurt maker.
Now, how would our listeners be able to do that?
Well, really, the process of making yogurt is just adding a culture to warmed milk and keeping the milk at the right temperature for 4 or 5 hours. So, and that culture that makes yogurt can either be a powdered culture, which you can buy from a cheese making supply store, or there are some local stores that have it, or you can actually just use store-bought yogurt as long as it's plain and not expired. So if you heat milk to about 185 degrees and then let it cool to about 110, and this all does require a thermometer, which I encourage people to get over their fear of if they don't like using a thermometer in their kitchen. It's a great tool. So we heat milk to 185, bring it down to 110, add a bit of culture, whether that's yogurt or powder. And then if you were to make it in a jar, you would just wrap it in a towel to keep it warm and keep it in a warm place in your home or in a cooler for 4 or 5 hours. And after that time, you'll find you have yogurt.
That's
it's pretty
so cool.
Miraculous.
It really is. Now, you have so many beautiful pictures, not only of the food, but of your family. So this is really something that you have shown your girls and that they are a part of.
They are. They're very central to all of this, and they've been great. They've been very patient and agreeable with all of this. I had the pleasure of working with a wonderful photographer, Jennifer May, who lives in Woodstock, and she came up over and over, over the course of a year, and became part of our family. And so the girls were so comfortable with her that they really let her into their lives, which was I'm very thankful to them for that.
This is a wonderful cookbook that I think should be on every shelf. It is The Homemade Pantry. Alana Chernilla, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's really a thrill because WAMC is always playing in my kitchen. So it's exciting to be on the other side of it.
Again, Alana Chernilla's cookbook is The Homemade Pantry. It is published by Potter, and you can find a link to her blog on our website. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.